Good evening. This is the NLA Hams Net. This net is held every Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. We talk about things related to ham radio and to committees of correspondence and anything about NLA. Generally, right now, we're just doing ham stuff. So I'm going to go into a short diatribe, after which y'all are welcome to ask any questions you like or have any suggestions or whatever. We conduct this net as if it was really a net held over the radio. So there's only one person supposed to talk at a time. And we wait until that person's done. And they say, yeah, yield or over or whatever they want to say. And they allow somebody else to talk. So we're going to be nice to everybody. I'd like to talk about two things. One is, what does it take to have a radio? It takes four things to have a radio. So you have to have a receiver, a transmitter, an antenna, and some way to power it, a power supply. Now, the power supply is simplest. Everybody kind of gets that because they plug wall warts into the wall, little transformers that is essentially a small power supply to charge batteries or something. Many people experience that every night trying to charge up their cell phone or whatever phone they have. Same thing with the radio. You have some batteries inside the radio. Or you just have a power supply and plug it in the wall. Or sometimes with hands, a lot of the gear is set to run on 6 or 12 volts. So that 6 or 12 volts is available on a car. And so as you drive and charge your battery on the car, the battery drives your radio. So whatever the power requirements are for a radio, that's one of the first things you have to have. Next, I want to talk about a transmitter because it's always fun to have a transmitter. And a transmitter is simply something that takes your sound, which is compression waves, in the air and turns them into a tiny electrical signal. And then it amplifies that electrical signal, blends it with a frequency that's up the scale to wherever that radio transmits on, and sends it out over the airways. But it doesn't quite send it out. It goes on the feed line up to the next part, which is an antenna. And an antenna is sitting up there as high as you can get it, and it has to be tuned for the frequency that you have. There are general antennas that are not tuned to a specific frequency, but they will talk, or they're able to transfer that energy out to electromagnetic waves. Those electromagnetic waves travel out just like the waves in a rock. Somebody pulled out in front of me. Hold on a second, okay. Just like a rock hits a pond and waves spread out from where that rock hit the pond. Radio waves do that away from the antenna. So the antenna is there to turn the signal coming out of the transmitter into electromagnetic waves that can be propagated as far as they'll go. Now, you don't just talk on a radio, you listen. And I'm a firm believer in God gave us two ears and only one mouth for a reason. And so your antenna also can hear electromagnetic waves that have been propagated by somebody else's antenna. And so it absorbs those waves. It goes back down the feed line and into the fourth element of a radio, which is the receiver. The receiver is there to turn, and that's really the most important part of the radio. The receiver turns those electromagnetic waves coming from the antenna into a tiny electrical signal that goes to what's called a speaker. And a speaker does nothing but turn electromagnetic energy or electrical energy into compression waves that go out over the air and they come to your ears, and you hear them as somebody talking on the radio. And it takes all four of those parts, the transmitter, the power supply, the transmitter, the antenna, the receiver, takes all four of them so that you can have a conversation. If you think about talking to somebody, just having a conversation with them sitting across the table, what does it take? It takes somebody who's talking, that's the transmitter. It takes somebody who's receiving, who's listening, that's the receiver. It takes some kind of medium. Well, you're using the atmosphere, you're compressing the waves, your vocal cords, and they hear sound, and the sound sounds like English or whatever language you're speaking. And if they understand that language, then they understand what you're saying. And an idea, because of that ability, an idea goes from the person transmitting the idea, and it creates an idea in the receiver's head. And that's the whole point. We're going to, instead of just having air between the receiver and the transmitter, whoever we're talking to and us, or whoever's talking to us, instead of just having air, we're going to turn it into electromagnetic energy. And that way it can go a lot further than it can in air. If you talk to somebody who's across the room, you can raise your voice a little and they'll get the message most likely. If you talk to somebody across the yard, it's a little harder, but you can do it. And maybe you can do it across the street by yelling. But there are limits to how far you can go. If you're a block away, you're at the opposite ends of the block, it's downright hard to get a sophisticated message through. So they've designed repeaters, they've designed radios so that it only takes a small signal of you talking into the microphone, and it boots it up and changes it into whatever it needs to change it on a particular frequency. Puts it out on the antenna. There's your electromagnetic waves going out, and then anybody whose antenna is out in those electromagnetic waves hears and tuned to your frequency. Here's the receiver, turn that back into acoustical energy, sound energy, as if they were sitting right next to you. Now, there's one more thing in any conversation, and you can think of it as the TV going in the background, or kids yelling and screaming, or whatever you want to invent, and that's noise. And this whole thing about talking on the radio, there's the medium, and the medium is electromagnetic waves, and you do have noise at that level. So anybody that, anything that's generating electromagnetic waves near your frequency can be heard as noise in your communication. And sometimes you can hear right through it. And sometimes it's just enough where you can't quite understand what somebody's trying to say. I know many of you have talked on cell phones before, and you can't quite hear it drops a little bit. That's noise. Anytime you can't hear the signal nice and clear, that's noise. So that's just a little primer. And believe it or not, that's on the test. It'll say, what do I need to have a radio? And it'll show you a picture of an antenna, a transmitter, and a power supply. You're supposed to pick the other one. So be ready. that I gave you is on the test. So I'll throw it open now. I'll open the floor, and anybody wants to talk, please give me your name and your state, and we'll give you the floor. This is KI0RE Terry in Colorado. Go ahead.
This is KW Kilo Whiskey 4X Ray Golf Wonder Ann. I'm sorry it's taken me so long to get back here, but that was very interesting. Can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Yes, we can. Yep.
Am I sounding okay? I'm not yelling. I feel like I'm yelling into a tube. I've got headsets on that are new, so I'm still working around them.
You sound fine to me.
Cool. With what you just went through, and I really appreciate it because it explains things a lot more to me, I want to come in with questions when we do our net control and net what we do on Friday and Monday. So this was very educational. Because so often I never know if I'm saying too much or too loud, and what you're giving us is feedback on basics, on real basic stuff, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Got any questions?
Yeah. What is a good – that was a good – but these are all pros that I'm listening to. What kind of question can I ask them, not to stump them, but to get a conversation going on our net program?
Okay, so when you're having a net on ham radio, you're wondering how do you come up with a question or what the question should be so that people start talking about it? Is that the question?
Correct.
Okay. You know what I found that works? What are you curious about? What would you like to know about? And just create a question. Like, it can be as simple as, what kind of car do you drive? Or what color is your car? Or, you know, anything where there's no, you don't want to ask anything that would embarrass somebody who hasn't attained the same level as you. So you try and make it generic. What do you think of the run for the Super Bowl? What do you think of the sports team, the local sports team? What do you think of this? What's the last thing you made and how long did it take? These are all questions that make good topics, because if you think about hams, they've done some radio experimenting, and they mostly have built something. So talk about whatever, you know. What kind of radio are you talking on, and what kind of antenna do you have? That's always a good one. Hams love to brag about their equipment. Not all of them, but many of them. So do you see what I'm saying? You can pick anything you want, but you want to pick something that's generally everybody can answer. Because if they're listening, they've got a radio in front of them of some kind. And it gives an opportunity for some of them to say, oh, yeah, I got a Super Reacher number 27. And somebody else says, I'm listening on a radio that I built last week. And you get both of those people out, and it's just fun to hear what the questions are. Does that answer your question, Wonder Ann?
It does, and I actually came up with a question regarding my fire stove, because I was getting so much ash because it was so cold here. I was burning, and my ashes were getting higher and higher and higher, and I'm like, I'm going to burn the whole stove down. And of course, this gentleman was really good. He told me what I was safe, and that be sure and have a metal pail and a metal shovel. I said positive on both of those. And, of course, 2 days later, We went into spring and summer and fall, so I got it cleaned out, but I got my answers, and that was very helpful.
Well, super. That sounds like a good thing that you did. Okay, do you have another question?
That's where I'm stuck again. On the test, when I was taking the test, I got so frightened about the math. Pardon me, I don't like to do that in your ear. On the math, and what they assured me that I could skip the math. You know, if there's a math problem came up and I didn't feel comfortable, I could skip it. But I didn't like really skipping things, you know. I was wanting just to pass the darn thing. But with the math, I think some people would be kind of intimidated with that. What's your advice about that with the test?
The math is fairly straightforward on the tech test. It gets harder as you go up in general and in amateur extra. So on the tech test, you can skip the math. And you don't have to worry about it because there's only, I think, six or eight questions. Well, it's a 35-question test. You have to get 26 right to pass the test. That means you've got about 9. So if you skip every math question, you would have to get the rest of the test 100% to get it right. And some of them are easy and some of them are hard. So learning a little bit of math is good so that you kind of get up your chances. But you're right. You can skip the math if you want. It's just you got to get everything else right to pass the test. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I'm saying these questions for somebody that might go, oh, I'll never pass the math, because that's the way I felt. I just didn't know diddly squat about them. And, yes, I went back to school. You don't have to go back to school. But these programs that are out here are really, really built for you to win at them instead of lose at them. They want you to be a ham. And that's what's exciting.
Well, can I say something here?
Yes.
I found that it's really good to take and emphasize everything but the math. And they get excited, and then they ask about the math because they want to get it all right.
Okay.
And so there's so many things in ham radio. There's 10 sections on the test. And by taking and doing the things, studying the things that they like first, that gives them a motivation to go back and learn the math. So, okay, any more questions?
I'll leave it for someone else to ask something. I don't want to hog the show.
Okay, this is Kilo, Charlie3HVA, with a comment and I guess another comment. Like any exam, when you go take it, run through it. Do the easy ones first. Do the ones you like first. Then you have more time to go back and work on those troublesome ones, maybe like math for some people or other things you weren't certain about. Always do the easy stuff first, and then that always works pretty well. General comment. We have had people on this call and other calls who have not received their radios yet. And I finally tracked down our fellow that does the radio work. He had some, what he thought was minor surgery on a toe or a foot a few days before Thanksgiving. Over Thanksgiving, he started feeling poorly and went back, and turns out he has sepsis, and he spent 5 weeks in the hospital.
Oh, my God.
And so he did not have everything done, and anything that's come in since Thanksgiving was just sitting there waiting. So he's back as of yesterday. He's back working. So hopefully all of you will soon get your radios that are ordered if you haven't received them yet. And if you don't receive them within the shipping time, this is Wednesday, probably by next Monday, Tuesday, please send me an email and I'll check to make sure that it didn't slip through the cracks when we had this stuff piled up on us. And that's about the end of my comment. Over.
Oh, very good on both accounts, Jan. I appreciate it. I agree 100%. Go through the test, answer the ones you can, and go back and pick up the ones that you haven't done yet. I've done that before, and it's a good strategy. Then you don't feel as much pressure to get everything right. And if there's only four questions that you didn't answer, hey, you're on top of the world. You got the rest of the test time to do it. Most of these tests, there is no time limit, but they like to get done that night. So, so the time limit
they want
is
to go home.
I'd like to go home. Can you finish the test, please? If you haven't answered it by now, you probably don't know it, but it's your choice. So, and then I'm glad to hear, I hope he's okay, and I hope he gets better soon. And thank you for that information, Jan. That's crucial.
Yep.
Okay. Anything else? Is there anybody? Yeah, go ahead, Jan.
That's an important comment, Terry. Where I took my tests, I took the first two one night and then the extra later the next month. They start the tests at 6 o'clock and they start their meeting at 7 o'clock. So you have an hour to go through the test, which is a long time. I mean, you don't feel rushed at all, so on. So you do have plenty of time. So take it easy. Don't get excited. Just go through, do the easy, and then finish up with the more difficult ones. But they do like to go home at the end of the program.
So. Yeah, another thing you got to realize is that all of those people administering the test are doing so as a volunteer.
Right.
And so, though they have the answer key and they know all the answers, they want you to be successful, but they're still going to grade you against what's right and wrong. So
right.
It's nice of them to come out and do it. And having been the test proctor, the person who ends up getting all the documents together and sending them in so that you can get FCC credit for passing the test, I can tell you that they put in, for every hour that they're doing a test, they put in another hour easily or more. And they put in their own money to administer these tests. Okay, very good. Thank you, Jan. Anybody else? Nobody has a question or anything?
They're well informed.
How many people are going to take the test or are planning on taking the test?
Do we have any people in the audience that are studying for the test? You know, it's kind of like this friend of mine. He's got a good ham rig, and I've been pestering him to take the exam and get his license, and he says, oh, if everything goes south, I'll just use it without a license, blah, 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 blah. And I says, well, you know, wouldn't it be nice to know how to use it properly so you can communicate when you need to and so on? And it's a difficult battle, and so far I have not succeeded in piquing his interest to take the exam. He's convinced in the dread dead end why he'll be able to do it, you know. That's not a good philosophy. You need to take the exam, get your license, even if it's just the first level. Get out there, get your little handy talkie, your little Bofang, or a bigger unit, and do some practice. Practice working with the repeater and so on, and make some contacts. So in case you do have a problem, if all you have is your little Bofang, you're going to need somebody else in the chain to send messages farther down the pike, and that's going to be a ham. So get your license, talk to the hams, and like Terry always says, find your local ham group and work with them. Over.
Well done, Jan. Thank you. I'd also like to put in another plug there. I mentioned it as I gave the little lesson here in front of the call, is that you got two ears and you got one mouth. So at a minimum, you should be listening twice as much as you're talking. And when you get the radio, even if you don't have your license, you can turn it on and start listening to the people that are talking. Something else you find out, as you talk, you'll hear call signs. I'm KI0RE. Wonder Ann gave hers, and so did Jan. You can look those call signs up because they're unique throughout the entire world. And you can look them up and see where the person lives. See where they, what city they live in, what part of the town sometimes. Just all depends. And that's one way that you can turn around and look them up in the phone book. The person named so-and-so who lives in this little town just outside of my town, I think I can call them. There's only one person with that name in that town. So I think I'll give them a call. And that's how you can start making contact with hams. And I'll tell you, every ham is willing to help someone learn. And I think that's good. Okay, I'm going to sit back here for just a second and open it up again. And would anyone like to talk or put in how they've done this last week? Or what would they like to do? Or do they need suggestions? Please ask anything you want on Communities of Safety, Ham Radio, or anything else. This is Terry, KI0RE, in Colorado.
This is just kind of an idle question for you, Terry. I know for my TV dish, if I get a heavy rainstorm between here and the station or in the satellite link somewhere, I'll lose signal. How would that affect the different ham bands, and which one would be the best to use in the case of a heavy, heavy thunderstorm downpour? Or should you stay away from your transmitter since you don't want to get fried if you get a lightning strike on your antenna? Over.
Both good questions. Let me take the second one first. That's easy to answer, and that is that a lot of people will bring the feed line up to their antenna into the receiver. And anytime it looks like a electrical storm coming, like there may be lightning, they go ahead and disconnect it. There's all kinds of other ways that you can do that. And keeping your rig grounded properly is a whole nother topic. And then now I've forgotten what the first question was.
What are the best bands in that?
Okay. The microwave. If you think about it, a microwave heats food by exciting the water molecules inside of flesh or bread or whatever it is you're cooking. So antennas that are looking up at the sky, dish network and all of those, they're somewhere in usually 1 to 2 gigahertz. And that's the frequency that your microwave uses. So when it starts raining real hard, that acts as interference. It takes a pretty strong thunderstorm and pretty thick moisture in the air to really kill it. But you'll get interference, which looks like noise. We talked about noise on your TV set or your radio, whatever you're listening to. So those are up above what we're doing. So most of the time, UHF and VHF around the ham band frequencies, 440 and 144, they don't get bothered that much by having a lot of rain in the air. But when there is, yeah, it's harder to get through. It certainly can be. But it's just because water, it takes a lot more energy to continue going through the water. Now, the water is interspersed, but it does take energy to go through that water. I could go on for hours talking about this for various reasons. But does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Thanks. Yeah, that's you made an excellent point. If you don't want to get your transceiver creamed, if it really looks bad out, I actually bought a separate connector that I can hook the antenna in so I can short the end of the antenna when I disconnect it from the transmitter. So I, by all means, disconnect the antenna from your transceiver when there's really bad weather out there.
So then your antenna is acting as like a lightning rod, isn't it?
It kind of is, yes. It has a big ground on it.
It has a big ground. Well, that's good. Even though antennas cost a lot, I'd rather have the antenna get fried than have my house burned down.
Yeah. Good brothers.
Good choice.
Okay, is there anybody else? How many people we got on the call right now?
We've got three active, you, me, and Wonderan, and we got about seven lurkers.
Well, hi, lurkers.
They didn't know we were watching.
Go ahead, and anybody wants, go ahead and pipe up. Tell us about your experience so far and what your goals are.
Hi, Terry. I'm one of the lurkers in Pennsylvania.
Well, thank you.
We had a discussion about how much this was all going to cost, and people were throwing all kinds of numbers around, and I'm not well-versed enough to agree or disagree, but I thought they were outrageous numbers. So I know what the Bofang costs, and then you're talking about antennas, so... What is the top amount, a dollar amount, if I say something, because I didn't say anything, I just said, gee whiz, $1,200 sounds like an awful lot to me, and so I don't think it's that, but that's the number that was being thrown around. And I know what the Bofang radio costs on NLA, and then I just didn't know what else to contribute, what else that they would need to invest in that would go up as high as $1,200. And so when I I feel stupid about something, I just didn't disagree. I couldn't disagree. So what is the real truth about what this, it's not just a hobby, I think it's an essential activity, going to cost on just the base cost, without getting real fancy schmancy.
Without getting real schmancy fancy, I bought my Bofang, and that's bottom price. Yep. And then I heard about this other antenna. I got it today, and it's a telescoping
the one
shift
we talked,
antenna.
The
one we talked about
one,
last
right?
week. Yes, $15 one. I had bought another one for about $17. About the week after I bought the Bofang, and it was kind of floppy, but it's longer. When I look at them, the one is short and stiff, but when you telescope it, it's probably about 3 feet long.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I'll get better reception and transmission capabilities out of it.
Well, like $100, that's certainly way short of the $1,200 that was being bantied about from me in this
Absolutely.
Group.
When I got my first HT back in 97, I was riding the bus.
Mm-hmm.
And I picked up a motorcycle battery, 7-amp-hour gel cell, and I had some clips that I glued on and plugged it into my radio. So I would drive my radio off of that. And I would sit on the side of the bus pointing towards the mountains. And I just had my HT, my handheld transceiver, and my battery in my backpack. And I, you know, put up my other stuff I was going to use at work. And I would talk I would join in the nets when I thought it appropriate. I listened a whole lot before I ever jumped in and started talking, but they were glad I was there once I did. So the point is that as you gain proficiency in talking on the ham radio, you can go to the next step. You can buy a little. So you can buy all this incrementally. Mm-hmm. And what these guys have done is they've bought radios incrementally until they said, I want a really good radio because I'm going to start working HF. And so they spend $300 on an HF antenna, and I've seen HF antennas go for $1,500. So they don't go to the top. They $700 for a radio and $300 for an antenna, a little bit of feed line, and they've and a power supply, and now they've got a set that does a lot more than what they have been able to do, but it hasn't broken the bank because they've kind of been looking to do it, and they saved for it.
I think a lot of people get talked out of this because of misinformation like that, because that kind of scared me. I'm thinking, okay, I'm spending $79 on a Bofang. The antenna is $15. And I say, well, that's way short of $1,200. So what people imagine this to be a very expensive, quote, hobby, and it isn't. And I think that to encourage people, maybe even people with limited means can participate. I don't think people realize that. I know I didn't.
Yeah, very good point. Excellent point. You can start off with just an HT and maybe an extra antenna. And to tell the truth, you don't need that other antenna. It just means you won't be able to reach something sometimes. You hear a guy, but you won't be able to talk to him. Well, that's okay.
Thanks. Good. I'll tell the group.
Okay.
They don't need $1,200.
No, not to get started. Now, you can go as much. I've seen guys spend $7,000 and $8,000 on a radio.
Mm-hmm.
But that was an awesome radio. When you look at what it does for you, it was great. These new software-defined radios, you can get into those for less than $20.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole range, and it's up to you. And the more you do it, the more you'll find you want to do, and you can save for whatever your goals are.
Yeah,
the thing is, if you just want to do line of sight stuff, short range, 5, 10, maybe 15 miles on a good setup, that's limited to less than $100. You can get by for, you know, minimal amounts. If you go to HF where you want to go to the long range, the 700-mile or 1,200-mile systems and stuff, then you start having to spend money because you can't get away with an 8-watt transmitter.
Well, how much is the minimum?
The minimum.
Well, there is no minimum
for the price on that.
You can build your own radio if you want, and so you can build it for almost nothing.
Is this Committees of Safeties?
No.
Okay, I was just curious. Also, you guys are talking about ham, that's why. But I was curious about the price of the a basic ham already pre-set up. You know, like something long range. I could be in the market within the next month. Well, I actually am in the market, but.
Do you have your ham license yet?
Well, no, that's what I need to know. Like, where do you go to get that? And is it something I have to apply through the federal government?
I want to point you to ARRL.org. You can find out a lot of information, and that's the ARRL. It used to be the Amateur Radio Relay League. It's now called Amateur Radio something. And anyway, they are organized, and the book that you can study is up there. There's other places you can go on the net, but the idea is get with a local ham and start talking to them. There, it has a list on there of education materials, clubs that are available and where you're at, and testing times and places. You need to study a little bit. The technician test is 35 multiple choice questions. They're all in the book. All you got to do is go through the questions. 35 question test, you got to get 26 right, and then you get your tech license. When you start going to HF on the lower frequencies, the longer wavelengths, you're going to need to upgrade to a general or an extra class, and that will it's just another test. You prove that you know the material so that you don't cause interference with somebody else. So the idea is you start learning what you can, get your tech license first, and then start talking to people. And what you'll find is somebody's got a radio sitting in the back of their shack that they used to use. They'll loan it to you, see if you like it or not. Or you look at the club, and there's maybe five guys, and you go around over a couple of months, you go around to all five of them, and you say, I like the radio that guy has best. That's where you're going to find out what you like and what you don't like and how much it'll cost. And cost is a basis of how many bells and whistles and capabilities do you want on it.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, thank you. I think someone else, yeah, thank you very much. That does answer my question. Because I have the website. I pulled up the website, and I can go to the ARRL.org.
Yes.
I'm there now, actually. I'm there. I bookmarked the site, so thanks for that. You know, I think that it's something definitely that I know that the committees have talked about, and I think it would be an overall asset to any organization, regardless of affiliation. I mean, having a ham license, that's why I asked about it. You know, having that ability, that capability, and I mean, considering the times that we're in, yeah, very
it's
powerful.
A big deal.
Yeah,
the Oath Keepers put together teams that are local, and on every team out of 12 people, one or two of them will be hams. That's one of the criteria that they like to see, so that they can help with communications. So it's going to be a big thing. Easier to study now than it will be when we really need all this stuff to kick in.
What is the call tonight? So I know I got the email, but I forgot the headline. What are you guys?
You're probably looking for last night's call, were you?
Nope.
Are you looking
on
for the Observer?
Nope. I'm just honestly, I stay tuned to National Liberty Alliance because I like the vibe. I like to see where this is going. I want to see where I can possibly contribute.
Okay,
and so
okay.
I try to...
At 8 o'clock Eastern time, we have the hams net for about 45 or 50 minutes, and that's the middle of this. That's what this call is.
Okay.
And then after Hi. This, at 9 o'clock Eastern time, is the Courtroom Observers call-in, conference call.
Kurt, right? Is it Kurt?
Carl?
I got it. Yeah. Carl, yeah, I got an email from Carl earlier about the Courtroom Observers. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
That
cool.
starts in about, 17 minutes.
Excellent. Yeah, I sound retarded, but I'm not. It's just been a long day, but I've been in the courtroom before. I can't imagine that I would go somewhere unless I had money to actually be able to travel, but I would love to sit in a courtroom. So... Yeah, let's talk about hams until we can talk about the other things.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I appreciate your question. I want you to go ahead and study, and then you can always call me. My name is Terry. I'm in Colorado. I'm KI0RE is my call sign. And my phone number is in the thing that Jan puts out saying there's going to be a ham call on Wednesday night. So anybody is welcome to call me at any time, day or night. And I will sit and talk and answer their questions or help them out any way I can. So there you go. Anybody else want to ask a question?
I want to interject. This is Kila Whiskey for Actually Golf, Wonderan, and I just want to input the fact of what our lady said before Donaldson got on, and that was the fact that I was able to get my ham material only because sad point. I got fired from my job, but they had a what did they have? They had a set aside for me of what I was like a 401k type thing that the college had, and it was very good because I was able to use that to set up my ham stuff. I was able to get a tower. I was able to have it all done, and I still wasn't a ham, but I had all the preliminaries in place before I ever became a ham. So when I became a ham, I was ready with my material. I had my Elmer, and this is why you're so encouraged to go out and get active in a local ham club so that you're building as you're learning. Because it doesn't come overnight. We all start in kindergarten with ham, and it's exciting. The men and women are basically fun to be with, and it's kind of like what I got used to with my dad with boating. People that are interested in exciting, livable, growing and maturing things are wonderful people to be around, and that's the way the ham people operate. So I can only encourage you, set aside, do a little bit as Terry has been telling you. She's doing a great job on really laying out the steps. And I'm active in the Aries. Aries is something you'll learn on the test, too. That's where I got my experience about being neck control, is being on an Aries call. And that's what my Elmer, you know, introduced me to, being on that call. So a little bit, you're only eating an elephant one bite at a time. And I can only encourage you to take a small bite. Thank you. Over.
Well, thank you very much, Wonderhand. And we appreciate it. And I will kind of close it there, because we need to get off from these other folks.
Just
so
I want to say hello to Wonder real quick. Hi, Wonder.
Okay. Hi, Donaldson.
That's Wonder Ann. Okay, and this is the NLA Hams Net. We talk about ham radio and committees of correspondence and how we can support the mission of the NLA and the committee and your local committee of correspondence or committee of safety using ham radio to maintain communications even though people are separated. With this net is held, or conference call is held every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and everybody is welcome to join. And I hope to see everyone there that would like to come. I would very much like to hear you. So with that, I'm going to say the net is now closed. Thank you all very much for participating. Bye-bye.